You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Reen Fiends, here solo for a quick second. We had a locker room after the Dodgers win yesterday. We talked to Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds. We talked about the upcoming Brewers series and a couple other things. So let's hop into that. But before, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, I guess you guys won the series. So even with today's outcome, you got to be pretty happy with the result of the series.
Jeff, I'm not going to lie. Coming into this series, I was just hoping they wouldn't get swept because they've been playing some bad baseball. So it was nice to see them kind of right the ship a little bit. Wasn't expecting it at all. But, I mean, Kershaw did what Kershaw's done for years and years and years and years. So that was not surprising at all.
Yeah, today looked kind of like vintage Kershaw. Obviously, the fastball velocity isn't what it used to be. But the dude definitely still knows how to pitch, huh?
I love that combination, though. Like, I know that the fastball's not up there on the radar gun, but the way that he pitches it and then mixes in his slider and just, like, the fastball is right there, and then the slider just breaks enough and looks almost exactly like that fastball. It's so brilliant. I mean, that dude, first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, that slider, it's kind of crazy that he made it to the big leagues – and was actually a good major league pitcher. And then he developed that slider, which is, you know, one of the best pitches in baseball. It's his best pitch, you know, and the curveball gets a lot of attention because it's huge and it's awesome too. But, you know, he went from a solid major league pitcher and then added, you know, the best pitch in baseball, which, it goes to show why he has won himself a few Cy Young awards. And like you said, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And how about Turner, too? I mean, he really anchored the lineup today, and I thought he looked pretty awesome. His off day yesterday, so was it an off day, or was he just coming back? I know that you guys have been dealing with some injuries.
Yeah, no, it was just an off day. JT, even, like, he's always been one of those guys who gets more days off than a lot of starters. They've always kind of been a little cautious about his health, knowing that over the course of a long season, he needs more breaks. And so, you know, he's probably in the best shape of his life, you know, trademark right now, but he's still a guy who they try to get days off for pretty regularly. And when you've got, you know, right now their depth is being tested because of injuries, but you got Chris Taylor who can play anywhere. So it's kind of easy to give everybody pretty regular days off. And that's pretty much their MO right now.
I love rooting for guys like that. I mean, he's got one of the best stories in baseball and just getting to see him do work. I mean, it was enjoyable. I hate the fact that we got to wait till September to see the Dodgers again, but we'll see. Maybe Trevor Bauer will get to pitch in Great American again.
Yeah, maybe. And Sonny Gray looked good today, so that's a good sign for you guys after his rough start.
We needed to see that because with the way that Castillo has been struggling to get his season going, not having Sonny Gray going too would just be way, way too much of an ask to be like, hey, Reds, we know that your top two starters aren't pitching well, but still need you to compete for that division crown. Kay, thanks. No, that's not going to work. So it was good to see him pitch well. And I was not happy. I was in public, so I wasn't cussing and throwing things, but I wasn't happy whenever David Bell took him out in the sixth. I mean, I guess yeah. I kind of understood it, but I really thought he could have gotten one more out.
Yeah. I was a little bit surprised by it too. Gray didn't seem too upset by it. So maybe they had a conversation and, you know, maybe he was running out of gas and Bell knew it, but yeah, he seemed to be shoving up to that point. As for Luis Castillo, I think he's a bust. You guys probably ought to trade him to the Dodgers for a bag of balls.
Well, according to the offseason rumors, he was almost a Yankee. But then again, those were some less than credible reports. But yeah, no, it's one thing that I think that he's gonna get right. Amir Garrett looked a lot better tonight, which, I mean, you know, it's only 8 pitches, so it's not as if you can say that a whole season is made on those 8 pitches, but at the same token, it was just nice to see him get out. I mean, that's been a struggle for him so far.
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers did the Reds a favor by letting him win 2 out of 3. Now, hopefully the Dodgers can do the Reds an even bigger favor and sweep the Brewers.
There you go. That's what I'm hoping for. And I appreciate the favor, because that 7-game losing streak, oh my goodness, it was a week of just, what on earth are we doing?
You know, we've been feeling that lately as Dodger fans too, because this is, 3-7 in the last 10. So, we can commiserate. And now that this series is over, yeah, now we can team up, force all our voodoo powers on anti-Brewers for the next 4 days.
I like it. I mean, there's that, the channeling with Trevor Bauer. Like, look, I know that Trevor Bauer is only a Red for a year and a half. Well, 2 years, but, or a year and a half, depending on how you look at last season. But he is the only guy ever in franchise history to bring a Cy Young. So he's always going to have a special place in Red's hearts. So there's that connection. So hopefully we can channel through Trevor and just start dominating the National League. And, you know, what say we meet in the playoffs, huh?
Hey, that sounds good. Yeah, I think the big thing is going to be getting something to the Dodgers hitters going up against Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff this week. I think we're, the Dodgers can definitely do it, but they definitely need to build off this bottom of the 8th today and take that energy in and figure out a solution to Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff, which nobody's really done yet this year.
Please tell me that Trevor Bauer is facing Corbin Burnes and that it's on national TV.
No, Burnes and Woodruff are Saturday, Sunday. I don't remember which order, but they got pushed back. Eric Lauer's pitching tomorrow, who has pitched like Corbin Burnes against the Dodgers. So,
yeah, Lauer. I felt like the Brewers traded for Lauer just because they anticipated facing the Dodgers sometime. That dude, you know, the Dodgers make Eric Lauer look like Clayton Kershaw sometimes, but hopefully not tomorrow.
I certainly think that the Reds, I mean, I was glad that they played so well in this series, but they definitely benefited from not facing Cody Bellinger. When are you guys expecting him back?
I don't know if there is an expectation. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those weird injuries that it, you know, his leg's broken until it's not broken anymore. And he himself said last week that he said, people have told me I could wake up one morning and it'll be ready to go. I still expect him back in the next couple weeks, but I've expected him back in the next couple weeks for a few weeks now. So, mathematically that doesn't work. So I'm not sure what the answer is.
That's unfortunate. He's a dude that I think baseball is much better when he's healthy. So I know it sounds like I'm just lavishing praise on Dodgers players, but I really do. I mean, I enjoy your all's team and the fact that you're all able to go out and do what you want and kind of exploit the market that is cheap baseball owners. I have a lot of respect for that and a lot of jealousy as well. So, you know, it's nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bellinger definitely locks down that defense a little bit. Having Mookie and Wright and Bellinger in center defensively kind of anchors everything. And so even if Belly's not hitting at his best, he's still having him there healthy is a valuable thing.
Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, you can talk with other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We host the room every single week that's live, and yes, you can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to here every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about MLB. You'll find other fans that are doing watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You have a chance to chat with us every single week as we host our Locker Room chats, usually on Wednesdays or Thursdays. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow Jeff at Snydog or me at Vincent91 to be notified when the room Room goes live. We can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Dodgers. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Let's say you're looking for a car part and you don't know where to go. I got you. RockAuto.com. Why would you go to a traditional chain storefront where, first of all, they can't really hold every single part that you may need? They can't hold the parts for every single make and model that's around today. And if you're not a mechanic, you're going to get charged more than if you were a mechanic. Why not just go to RockAuto.com, where everyone gets the same low price, where you can find any part you need for the ever-increasing number of makes and models, and you get it shipped directly to your door. Chain stores are cool, but RockAuto.com is cooler. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for all your auto and auto body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. If you're at RockAuto.com and they ask, "How did you hear about us?" make sure to tell them Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com.
Where is your guys' confidence level with Kenley Jansen? Because I know that every time I see him warm up in the bullpen, I just think, man, oh, man, it's going to be tough to get some runs on this guy. And I know that the Reds got one over on him early in the series, but he's had a pretty nice start to the year.
Yeah. Vince, you want to take this one? We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, it honestly just depends on the day. So far this year, he's been good half the time. He's been not good the other half. He is better on multiple days rest, which is why I was not really prepared for him to pitch today, or didn't really want him to pitch today, realistically, because he only had one day rest. But now he'll have 2 days rest whenever, two or more days rest whenever he does pitch. So he should be good his next outing. And then it just depends how many days rest he has for the next outing. So level of confidence is higher than it was last year, but still not that high.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if, because he warmed up today as if he was coming in. And so it'll be interesting to see if today actually counts as a day of rest as far as his effectiveness goes, you know?
I was talking with a former reliever about that the other day. He's like, that's the one thing that's hard to quantify, especially from a fan's perspective, because when a reliever gets warmed up in the bullpen, they're getting mentally ready, they're getting their body ready, all that good stuff to pitch. And then even if they don't come in, it's almost as if it was kind of a day at the office for him.
Yeah, or at least half a day. It's, you know, if you warmed up like you're coming in the game, it's definitely not a full day of rest. I do think there's more intensity when you're actually in the game. And so I think Kenley is more rested, you know, and the thing is, back when he was at his peak, it didn't matter. You know, Kenley Jansen on 0 days rest to 4 days rest, he was lights out no matter what. And that's just not the case anymore. So they're going to need him. And hopefully the Dodgers, you know, hopefully Kenley didn't go too hard. You know, I know he likes to pace himself. And since they did score, you know, they had long enough, you know, hopefully he didn't get fully warmed up and it was still a decent day of rest for him, because, hey, he's had days where he looked like peak Kenley Jansen, but those days have definitely been interspersed with some days when he's looked more like the last couple of years Kenley Jansen, which is less confidence inducing, shall we say.
Jeff, I have a question for you, the Reds Jeff. Yeah. We had honestly proposed an idea in the offseason when Justin Turner wasn't yet signed of a potential deal for a Eugenio Suarez and maybe adding on Luis Castillo. This is before Bauer was signed. And both those guys have really struggled so far in the first month of the season. Is that something that you're concerned about?
I definitely am. I got a chance. We were talking a little bit before you got on about Castillo. I think that he's going to get right, but what's concerned me the most is that it really seems like he's just a two-pitch pitcher right now. It's his fastball and his changeup, because his sinking fastball, he doesn't seem to be able to control it. It's either wildly out of the zone or it's right down the middle and it's getting clobbered by anybody with a bat. So I'm a little bit worried about him, although I think he's going to get right. Gino, I saw a stat today, which we call him Gino because A. Eugenio and all this stuff. But Gino is 3 for his last 52, and he has 23 strikeouts in that span. He has just an insane, and that's a small sample, but still it's kind of indicative as to where he's been. Last year, the entire season, he hit just barely over 200. And now he's barely hitting, I mean, he's barely hitting at all. So it's been very concerning to watch him play. It looked like he was really going to get off to a great start. He came into camp, best shape of his life, kind of like Jeff said with Justin Turner, you know, trademark there. But he is the kind of guy that if he's not going, the Reds are a lot less intimidating in the National League Central. So they absolutely have to get him going here soon because the peripherals aren't good. His barrel percentage is down. His exit velocity is down. I mean, he's striking out a just – it's an insane amount. That he is far more worrying to me than Luis Castillo, but he's definitely been a worry. He was batting third at the beginning of the season. He bat fifth today. He had an off day yesterday. We were kind of hoping that was a get-right thing. Maybe he comes in today, gets a hit or two, and starts getting on a roll, but it was just still more the same Gino. I mean, he was making contact, but he wasn't getting good contact on the ball.
It's like – I don't know if you remember those Folgers Crystals commercials from when I was a kid where, you know, we've secretly replaced their fancy coffee with Folgers Crystals. Let's see if they notice. So this is like, we've secretly replaced the Reds' Eugenio Suarez with Eugenio Velez. Let's see if they notice.
No, it's totally true, man. I don't know what it was going. There's a bunch of us Reds fans that are just like, he just needs to bleach his hair again. Because it seemed like the last couple of years, whenever he bleached his hair, he like turned into Super Saiyan Eugenio Suarez. So maybe that's what he needs to do. He just needs to go Super Saiyan and he's going to be okay. But for right now, he is absolutely regular, not even Saiyan Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, thanks for hopping in with us. That's we should have done a series preview episode. Maybe we'll do that before they play again later this season. But yeah, it was a fun series, but only because the Dodgers finally won one of the games. And like I said, we're all on the same team for the next 4 days anyway.
Absolutely got to set something up for September. Definitely up for it. We're marking this down on the calendar in September.
Excellent. So let's get more Dodger focused. I don't know if you guys saw, today was Matt Beatty's birthday, and I texted Matt Beatty this morning, and I said, I'm going to read it to you. Happy birthday, Matt. I was hoping for a 7-homer day from you for 28 total bases because it's a 28th birthday. But since you're coming off the bench, I guess I'll settle for a pinch hit 2-run double. Hope you're doing well. Say hi to Jessica for me. And then, so then when Beatty came up in the ninth inning or the bottom of the eighth with bases loaded, you know, I told my son, I said, I told Beatty he was going to get a 2-run pinch hit double. And now here he is pinch hitting with the bases loaded. And I said, Austin Barnes is going to need to slow down a little bit because I'm worried that a double might score 3. And then he blooped that thing in. And my son and I were more excited about that double than we've been excited about very much lately because just because it was so, you know, I called it. And I think that's meaningful. Don't you think, Vince?
I think it's very meaningful. I think, maybe Jesse Winker or whatever his first name is was on board with it. It was in his glove, then it was out of his glove. It all worked out perfect. That was kind of one of the only ways you could get an RBI double in that situation or a 2-run double in that situation without it leading to 3 runs. So the prophet that is Jeff stands tall on this day.
Yeah. So for all the crap that Jesse Winker gave us this week, it's good that he finally contributed something of value to the Dodgers. Vince, what was your big takeaway from the game?
I said it yesterday, and I didn't feel it wholeheartedly, but the stopper that is Clayton Kershaw, I mentioned that on last night's show or this morning's show, and it turned out to be true. You know, Clayton Kershaw, obviously we know it has been declining a bit, but still being a very good pitcher, and facing this Reds offense, I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. It could have went a variety of ways, and the way it went was really good. And you know, it's not like they had a backup lineup in; they still had their big guys in there, and he just dominated them and shut it down and did what the last two guys couldn't do, which is go deeper into the game, and not allow runs. And it's just really great to see after that clunker on opening day, Kershaw's really settled in, really pitched well, pretty much every time out, limited the damage or had no damage, and it's just great to see that he's still doing it and in the last year of his contract and And after all the past years of a little bit of decline, a little bit of struggles, and now he's more of a pitcher and a smart pitcher. And it's really giving me hope for a little bit of the future, especially if he stays with the Dodgers.
Yeah. You know, we talked a week or two ago about how when you give up three hits to the same guy in a game, sometimes that's a good thing, as long as you're, you know, when you have a game like this where Nick Senzel had three hits off of Kershaw, everybody else only had one though. And so by definition, you're scattering those hits. If all the hits are bunched in one spot in the lineup, it's hard to score if you're the other team who, okay, we're going to get a hit every nine batters and not much else in between. I will take that every day of the week.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Yeah, we got baseball going on, but there's a lot of stuff you can do at BetOnline. You can track all the action on their website, and this week has a bunch. Right now, today, the NFL draft's going on. There's going to be a lot of bets leading into it. This weekend, the first leg of the Triple Crown, aka the Kentucky Derby, is back, and horse racing is a big part of betting. And all the real-time updated sports odds, news, and scores are at betonline.ag. Make sure to head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out everything on the site. And right now you can get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game, make some money, and make it to the playoffs of life. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition, and fairly priced. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. They only use diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, and these 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for all situations like engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful I love you piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. And right now, through Mother's Day, they're available only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight. And best of all, it's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check it out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com.
She's coming into a four-game series with the Brewers, who do struggle on offense but are really good at pitching. The Dodgers are struggling on offense as well, but are really good at pitching. So you'd imagine we're going to have some close games where the pen's going to be needed to be used a lot over the next four games. You know, even if the starters go seven, they'll still need to pick up two innings or wherever else it may be. So, yeah, great to see that. Great to see Blake Treinen come through. And I thought he was setting it up for Jansen by letting two guys get on and then striking out the two big hitters and then leaving Jansen with a little bit of rest coming down to not Winker and Castellanos. But then the offense ended up saying, hell, you know what, let's just give Jansen the whole day off anyways.
Yeah, and although Treinen should have been out of that inning even easier, because that dude who got hit by the pitch, he swung at that thing. So leave it to Angel Hernandez. That Joe and Oral had just been talking about how the day after having the hardest job behind the plate, the umpire gets to go to third base and have the easiest job. But Angel Hernandez still found a way to mess things up and blow a big call.
Yeah, it's umpires, at least today, didn't cost them. Steve, are they facing Burns? They are facing Burns this weekend. I would really like to see Burns versus Max Muncy and see if that walk streak can end. And then Joe has a good question. How do we feel about a bullpen game on Friday, since the bullpen has struggled? You know, with the long stretch of games, this was kind of expected. I'm not sure entirely what kind of bullpen game they're going to go with. Is it going to be an inning-by-inning type? Are they going to let Dennis Santana start and go two or three innings? Are they going to let Mitch White start and go two or three innings and then fill in from there? I'm curious to see what kind of bullpen game it's going to be and if they call up any extra arms either before that game or after that game for the last two games of the weekend.
Yeah, but, you know, you've got Mitch White, who is theoretically a starter anyway. I don't think they would expect him to throw six innings, but you could have him be the front end of a quote-unquote bullpen game and hope for three or four innings from him. You know, obviously it would be fun if they called up JoJo for a day and went with the piggyback start and tried to get seven innings out of the combination of White and Gray. And then I love that their last names are both colors, because it's easy to group them together. But, you know, I doubt that that's likely, but, they've been pretty leave it to the Dodgers. It seems like they've figured out a way to use COVID vaccines as a way to game the injured list this year, because when you get the vaccine, you're allowed to go on the injured list for, just a day or so. Victor Gonzalez was on the injured list for a day, which was a day he wasn't going to be available anyway, because he had just pitched. And so maybe they, they see who pitches on, I think the bullpen game is for, is that for Friday or Saturday?
Bullpen game Friday as of now. Bauer, bullpen game, and then back to the rotation.
Okay, yeah. So maybe whoever pitches the day before the bullpen game, they just say, okay, go get your vaccine now. We'll put you on the injured list for a day, and we'll call up Edwin Uceta and Josiah Gray and whoever else just to have extra arms to get through this one game. It's probably not keeping with the spirit of the injured list for COVID vaccines. But, hey, you know what? Game that system. That's what I always say. I don't always say that, but I said it just now anyway.
Yeah, said it just now. Two things we talked about on today's show that a little update. So we talked about Max Muncy. We talked about Mookie Betts. Max Muncy swung the bat today. Didn't have much to show for it, but did have one. Put a jolt into one that gave us thoughts of maybe a home run or extra bases. Mookie Betts had a couple hits today. Also had a couple not so great ABs, but it was good to see those two guys. I'm sure they listened in the morning on the way to the game, and that's why they, changed up their approach a little bit.
Yeah, Mookie's like, you want to drop me for the leadoff spot? I'm hitting a leadoff double today, guys, you freaking idiots. And you know what, Mookie? Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we are freaking idiots. And, for today at least, the leadoff double didn't lead to anything, unfortunately, because Lux and Turner both popped up. But all in all, even though this is one of those games that we kind of got a lot of last year where it's close-ish, and then in the late innings, the Dodgers blew it out. And we've been missing that lately. The Dodgers hadn't scored at all in the late innings in the last week and a half, and definitely haven't scored as much in the late innings this year as in the past. But it was kind of nice to, have a nice pitcher's duel. I mean, Kershaw against Gray was a great pitcher's duel, and then still have none of the late inning stress because the Dodgers picked it up. We got top of the eighth stress with the tying run on base, but then, no ninth inning stress, which is a good feeling, especially right now with the struggles they've been having. It was a much needed 6-run bottom of the eighth inning, I think.
Thought or question for you. We've seen the Dodgers do this a couple times where they intentionally walk somebody that's maybe not hitting well in order to get the matchup that they desire. We saw the Reds do it in walking Luke Raley, and that ended up leading to all those runs happening in that inning. Did they just overthink themselves on that one?
Yeah, I actually, when they walked Luke Raley, Raley looked surprised. And I joked, he's like saying, are you new here? I'm Luke Raley. I haven't put the bat on, and he did have a hit earlier in the game, it was kind of a, I don't know, by the book stuff. I think it's easy to criticize teams for doing what the numbers say to do instead of going with your gut. In general, I think the numbers exist for a reason. They're based on actual results, but I do think you also have to take into account, what you have. And, Austin Barnes, for one thing, even when he's not a good hitter, he's still generally pretty good at plate discipline and working a count. And so, when you walk Luke Raley, and then I think did Barnes walked, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he walked because he didn't get a hit. I know that.
Yeah. So, when you put your team in a position where you've got a guy whose command isn't great anyway, and then you say, let's walk Luke Raley to get to a guy with really good plate discipline. Personally, I think that's an instance where you say, okay, I know the book says this is a 56% chance of working if we walk him better than, or whatever. But I think that's when you look at the actual people involved and say, I like my chances against Luke Raley. And if Luke Raley beats me, so be it. But, I'd have a really hard time as a manager ever saying the words, I would like to intentionally walk Luke Raley.
Heading into the weekend with the Brewers, they are, one of the best rotations so far. Brandon Woodruff, some of the top two pitchers. Lauer, who we talked about a little bit earlier. And with the offense struggling like it is, even with the breakout in today's game, What are you looking more like, you know, what do you think you're looking for from the offense specifically that would, you know, give you, obviously 10 runs would be ideal, but realistically, you know, they're probably not going to score 10 runs and maybe even in the whole series, depending how things go. But, you know, what would you consider success against some of these top guys when they're not really rolling the way they're supposed to be rolling right now?
Yeah, it's a tough time to go up against the Brewers when, you know, when they've got Burns and Woodruff, you know, they've got really good pitching. And so it's, I think the timing isn't ideal. But, you know, if we're trying to look at glass half full, if they can break out a little bit against the Brewers, maybe that helps their confidence more than breaking out against a poor pitching team. But, you know, really the starting pitching is going to need to step up. That's what it boils down to. And maybe, you know, maybe they just not that they're going to have any game they try to lose, but you know, if you got the bullpen game going up against one of the Brewers' good starters, that's kind of a punt game, you know, and maybe make some guys wear it if they do struggle, knowing, you know, going in, obviously, you know, splitting the series is a bare minimum that they're looking for. It would be great if they could win 3 out of 4. And if you are looking to win 3 out of 4, that one game that you, you know, think you might lose might be a game where you, you play strategically as far as how hard you try, I guess, you know, and obviously the guys on the field are going to be trying their best to win every game. But as far as bullpen decisions and other personnel decisions, you know, there may be somewhat of a punt game in this series.
Yeah, anytime there's a 4-game series, that there's kind of one, you know, unless you just straight out dominate, or like series with the Padres where it ended up all the games being really close, every team's going to have to make that decision at some point. And maybe that's preemptive with Friday. You know, we're not sure entirely what we're going to get in the bullpen game. And, you know, maybe it's a case of letting Bauer go a little bit further than normal on tomorrow's game, which they were going to let him go. He was already over 100 pitches, I believe. They were going to let him pitch last game. His spot just happened to come up in the lineup. So it's a matter of, you know, maybe letting him go deep, figuring out the Friday game, and then, you know, getting into the weekend when you got Woods and Woodruff and Burns, instead of trying to figure out how they're gonna get around those guys. The Brewers are an interesting team just because the Dodgers have faced them twice in the last 3 years in the postseason. They got taken to the brink in 2018. They, you know, had a couple rough injuries heading into the wild card, and they actually played the Dodgers really close those 2 games. You know, even though the Dodgers won both games, it was closer than many expected. They couldn't score. So I'm really interested to see how this weekend series goes. And you know, I'm kind of glad to see the Brewers keep being successful just because they're one of the teams that do keep kind of going after it. You know, they are a smaller market team. They're not really able to spend too much, but at the very least, they're adding, you know, MLB free agents almost every offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying, at least within the constraints of how you try when you play in Milwaukee. And, you know, I'm interested to see how they do, because, you know, I haven't looked at who Corbin Burns has faced this year. Obviously he's dominated, but I've even watched one or two of the games, but I think he pitched one against the Cubs. I don't remember who else he's faced, but, you know, it would be nice if the Dodgers offense was on to really give Burns a test and see.
Yeah. And it's very similar to last week when we both wanted to see Musgrove against the Dodgers. Musgrove had done well so far this season, but the competition just wasn't quite there in terms of who he did well against. And we saw the Dodgers, you know, left some runs on the board, left some runs on the bases, definitely, but, you know, got him out or very early and weren't swinging at everything. And you know, he didn't have 13 strikeouts against the Dodgers. So kind of interested to see the same thing here where, you know, like I said, I don't know who he's pitched against. I'm assuming at least two of those games were probably against the NL Central opponents. And we know NL Central teams aren't as great as hitting, even with the Cardinals having Arenado and Goldschmidt, if he did pitch against them. But yeah, I'm really interested to see how they do against him. Yeah. And the other one I'm excited to see, just to finally see him pitch against the Dodgers, is, or not, maybe not excited to see him pitch against the Dodgers, but to see him pitch in a game I'm watching is Devin Williams with that airbender changeup. It looks nasty. You know, if the Dodgers are in a close game, I really would not like to see him coming out of the bullpen. But I do want to see him pitch in a game that I'm watching.
I've watched him. I think it was the day the Brewers played the Cubs, and I was watching to see Burns pitching, and Williams came in. And I think I saw him give up a home run. Let's see. He gave up a home run to, the Cubs last week on the 24th. And he gave up a home run. He's actually allowed 3 home runs this year, and he has a 5.19 ERA. So, you know, he can be got. It seems like his command of the changeup isn't quite this year what it has been in the past. So if that's the case, you know, maybe the Dodgers can get to him. And, you know, my big thing, anytime you're facing a guy who's super changeup heavy, that mindset of pitchers with good changeups hardly ever throw the ball in the strike zone. And so if you can pick up that it's a changeup, and that's the hard thing with Devin Williams. That's why he's so good, because he also throws 97. And so you've only got that split second to pick up that it's a changeup. But if they can pick up on the changeup and lay off it, you know, that's how you get to a guy with a good changeup. That's why the Dodgers had so much success against Kirby Yates at times, is because they could pick up and make him get the ball into the zone. And when he does, then they could crush it. But, you know, they took a lot of walks against Kirby Yates, and then you could do that against these guys with good changeups if you can read the pitch. And that's what they did to Musgrove. You know, Musgrove, I think, has one of the lowest throwing the ball in the strike zone percentages in baseball. And the Dodgers, you know, exploited that, said, okay, we're going to make you come to us. And he didn't. And that worked for them.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to download the Locker Room app to join us next week and get in on the conversation. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure to listen every single day if you're not already doing so. Make sure to tell your coworkers. Make sure to tell that random person in the street wearing Dodger gear that you know of a podcast that they might really like. If you want to get your questions, ideas, or comments, you can do it at our social media, Locked On Dodgers on Twitter and Instagram. You can do so with Jeff and his DMs on Twitter at Snydog, or me at Vince Samperio, or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can call and text us at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car, or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!